Hi there, folks. It's the Millwright Show here. It's episode 478. You've just got me, folks. Robert has had some technical problems with the internet, but we have a guest, folks. We've got Jeff Weinberg with us. He's a well-known marketing expert. We're going to be discussing some really important information about landing pages, adverts, why funnels aren't working. Jeff's a real expert on this. It should be a great discussion. So, Jeff, would you like to give the audience a quick intro about yourself and your background?
Yeah, for sure. So first off, thank you for having me here. I'm super excited to be on the show. And I'm probably the most famous marketer you've never even heard of. So I've been in digital marketing for about 15 years, really just doing everything from content creation to ads to emails, like pretty much everything at some point in my career I've had to do that. And through, you know, like all of just kind of crazy jobs, like I've had some really good experience with how to like scale marketing, both for teams and for, you know, like bringing in leads and sales and all that kind of stuff. So I got my start at a company called Lead Pages, and I was like team number 11 there, team member number 11. And we grew to like 150 or 175, something like that, employees and like 45,000 paying customers. So really got to see like what it took to grow a huge funnel like that and to generate like, you know, multiple millions per month in revenue. And then moved to a company called Zipify Apps that was in the Shopify ecosystem, where it was kind of similar, but based on e-commerce stuff. And really like learn paid ads and how to really do direct response and all that kind of stuff with more like influencer style people. And now I'm currently a director of marketing at a company called Sales Message, where I'm doing the same thing, refining messaging, figuring out positioning and offers and that kind of stuff that work for more B2B businesses and that kind of stuff. So like I said, through my career, I've literally had to do everything. And the one thing that I found that I love focusing on is more around like the offers you're making and the messaging. I call them enrollment stories. When you craft a really good enrollment story, it makes everything else work really better. It makes your ads work better, your emails, your funnels, you know, your sales, all of that kind of stuff. And that's the thing that most people overlook. So I'm looking forward to hopping into that today.
Oh, that's fantastic, Jeff. As you know, Jeff, we're on this podcast, we've got emphasis on real estate agents and realtors. Yep. And I think a lot of them really struggle with digital marketing, and they get very frustrated with providers where they're not getting any real results. And I also think they struggle, Jeff, is the concept of what a CRM is. Mm-hmm. There's some industry-based ones that are more kind of contact information, just general information CRMs, and they bolt on some landing page functionality that doesn't really work that well, and they run campaigns for agents, and they're not very successful. But so I was really looking forward to our discussion because you got so much experience, Jeff.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's move on. So, Jeff, why do some great offers stall when you scale, even with the right funnels and ads? You know, the agency or the individual, or you've studied it a bit yourself and you've done a reasonable job, but you're just not getting the results really, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this is just based on my experience. This is not like this is what happens for 100% of the time. Usually when I see people like really struggling to scale, it's they don't have an offer and messaging that really resonates with cold audiences. So like that's people that don't actually know who they are, and maybe they're seeing them for the first time. They're trying to sell to them like they have already built the authority, have already built the trust, when it's like, well, I don't even know who you are. So that's, you know, the equivalent of walking into a bar and asking somebody to marry you like when you first meet them. And that's such a cliche example, but that's like essentially what it's like doing. And then when, you know, like they try to like scale, because a lot of times that works on warm traffic because you're borrowing authority from a platform you're on, or maybe like a partner you work with, or something like that, you don't have to have things as dialed in because you're borrowing that authority and you come like kind of pre-screened. So that's different. And so they think like, wow, that's working. Let me scale this out. And they start using the same messaging to people that don't know who they are and they don't have that trust and authority with. And then all of a sudden they're like, why is this not working? I have no idea. Like, must be my ads. So they start tinkering with ads, or it must be like, oh, my funnel, my landing page, my emails, like all of these things. When in reality, what I've seen at least is it's usually how they're communicating the value of what they offer. So they're usually speaking about stuff that is like so far down the line from where the person they're trying to attract is at, that the person they're trying to attract is just like, I don't think that's for me. When at the end of the day, it's like usually those people can help. They just kind of are not the greatest at communicating their value. Does that make sense?
It does. Can you give some examples though?
Yeah. So, you know, like if you had an offer where it was, this is obviously going to be a made up example, but if you had somebody that was walking through the desert, they're dying of thirst, what most people do is they are going to be like, you know, hey, here is a golden cup with rubies, diamonds. It's made out of pure solid gold. Would you like to buy it? And it's like, well, no. First off, like, how are you out here in the desert? Like, what, like, where did you get the cup? But more importantly, like, I don't even want the cup. I just want some water. What we really need to be doing to just start the conversation at the top of funnel without even selling anything with just our content is, hey, would you like to find water in the next 5 minutes anywhere in the world? You know what I mean? Like, somebody that's dying of thirst would be like, yes, I will. And then if you were like, this was a offer where you're selling something, throw in, here's a coffee can that you can drink it out of. Right. So it's like you're really just meeting them where they are, showing them what they need to know and what they're actively looking for a solution to. And then maybe also offering a couple extra like little things to just push them over the edge. Now, what most people do is it would be, you know, like this interview as an example. Most of your audience has probably never even heard of me. If I came in here trying to sell like whatever service or offering that I had, most of your audience would be like, well, who is this guy? Like, it kind of sounds good, but also like, I don't know if I really trust him because I've never actually even talked to him before. Whereas if you had, let's say, a guest on your podcast that had been around multiple episodes and your audience, like every time that person's on, they comment, all that kind of stuff, that person is going to be able to sell to your audience like that. What I would need to do to sell is really connect with the struggles and the pains that your audience is having and then talk about just that stuff on the interview, because then that would position me as a trusted authority and I would be building trust and showing my authority by demonstrating my expertise. Does that make sense?
It does. If you decided to become a real estate agent and you were doing some cold like Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, whatever the digital platform, and you were thinking of doing some campaigns, got any tips or insights about what kind of campaign you would run initially?
Yeah, I mean, for what I would do, and obviously I'm not a real estate agent, but like what I would do is I would start with just video view campaigns to start talking about the problems that you know, like your target buyers are actively searching for solutions to. So maybe it's, I just can't find any homes under 500K, or maybe it's like all the homes that I am able to afford are like two bedrooms and I need three bedrooms. You know, like whatever it is that like is currently running in their head, that is like the story they're telling themselves, that's where I would meet them. And as a like professional realtor, maybe I know down the line, like, well, actually I can find you a three bedroom home for under 500K, but you got to do these five things. I actually wouldn't start there. I would hone in on, doesn't it suck that you can't find a home that has more than two bedrooms and everything good is priced over 500K? You know what I mean? Like just entering in the conversation they're already having. And then create content and educate them on how you could find deals outside of that framework that most people maybe don't know about. So then they could see that I actually know what I'm talking about and know how to get them results, which would be, you know, the house they're after.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, because I think, and what I got from that example is you're trying to become that recognized expert, that person that can relate to the audience problems and needs.
Yep.
And then the more you're seen as an authentic resource, the more that you then maybe will be able to get them on a mail list or have that conversation, because really real estate agents are looking for people that are actively looking to buy or sell.
Right. And it's a little bit more of a long-term strategy, but why I recommend it is because, like, you want to be the person they think of when they are ready to buy. And you can do this, like, so cheaply that, like, you can target both at the same time. You can target, like, just a top of funnel, like, more awareness building type campaign. And then you can also target buyers. But you would do I would do the same thing. I wouldn't be like, hey, I got some houses that are available over on, you know, Cherry Street. Like, I wouldn't go straight to I would focus just on the problems they're having and finding houses that they like.
You know? Yeah, because I do understand, and it's fantastic. So on to the next topic. So what is the hidden clarity gap that keeps your content ads and sell calls from converting? I found this because Jeff gave me some areas that he would like to discuss, and this intrigued me quite a bit, Jeff, this whole concept. So maybe you can give us some insights in this. I say that we are kind of in the middle break. So I think we go for a break and then we discuss this.
Sounds good.
In the second half. So we're going to go for a break, folks. We'll be back in a few moments.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a fantastic discussion with Jeff so far. He's really explained some concepts really very well. So like I said, before we went for our break, I just was saying that I was intrigued in this area that Jeff gave me a heads up that he wanted to discuss. And it was this hidden clarity gap. I'm really intrigued about this, Jeff. So maybe you can give us some insights about this topic.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the biggest things is, especially in real estate, you have to stand out somehow. And there's, you know, 1,000 agents in any given city. And how are you going to find the one? So one of the biggest things is differentiating yourself from people. And I'm not just talking like, hey, I've got like, you know, clothes that I wear that, but like how I recommend people differentiate. And then this is just part of the clarity gap. I'll get to a couple other pieces, but how they differentiate is by the problems that they talk about and the problems they solve versus just like, hey, I help, you know, sell 4-bedroom houses, 4-2, like whatever the numbers are. Like it's all like, well, who cares? I don't know. It's like you specialize in something and you focus it on the problems. So being a homeowner as an example, like one of the problems that we had was I couldn't like find anybody to advise us. Like we felt pretty alone in the home buying process. Like we found the house and basically then we had to just give the realtor the commission for kind of like just being there at the signing. And it was like, well, this kind of sucks. Like my wife found the house. They couldn't help us negotiate because of, I don't know, something like they were part of like the same company, but in different branches or something. And it was like, well, cool. This is awesome. Like I feel like totally alone here. So I could use that and find more people that are in that situation and talk through what that was like, how to solve that type of problem. And oh, also, if you do need help finding a house where you're able to leverage my expertise and experience to negotiate, to know what to look for, and I can help you no matter what the other real estate agent's firm is, just give me a call. You know, like essentially we're building a foundation of trust so that people feel like, man, I kind of want to call that person versus just like, yeah, I sell 4-2 homes or 4-3 homes, you know, whatever like the bedroom and bathroom count is. Does that make sense so far?
Oh, totally. And I think you explained it in a very interesting way. As you were explaining it, I think a lot of people, a lot of real estate agents or people in general will really struggle about identifying these problems, though. They shouldn't do, really, because they should write down conversations. But I think we all don't because we're all very busy. So you got any kind of insights based on your experience about how people gather a few of these problems, which they can then talk about in their videos or their online marketing, Jeff?
Yeah. So this is like set where like AI is so good. Like you can literally just talk to ChatGPT after a conversation. Just say, hey, I just talked with Rachel and Ben. They're over at so-and-so. They're looking for this kind of house. And here's what they told me. They told me that, you know, hey, I'm just going to use myself. So they told me that everybody like realtor they've been talking to and using, like it's been like they've been completely alone. They haven't had any help in actually finding houses they want. They've had to do most of the legwork. And then when it came down to things, like they just felt like the real estate agent didn't actually help them do anything. So they were left kind of wondering what they were paying the agent for. Okay. You compile all of those with ChatGPT or whatever AI tool you want. And then you ask it to give you a summary of what are the common problems between all these people and what are the things that they're saying in their language. Like that's a really key thing, is we want to use their language. We don't want to take what they've said and then like summarize it through our brain. We want to just literally copy and paste their words, because if they're saying it one way, it's likely that other people are also experiencing that.
Yes, that's fantastic. On to the next one. Why your cold audience isn't buying, how to fix it without rebuilding everything. I think this is a fantastic question as well. So give us some insights about this.
With real estate, it's obviously a relationship kind of business. So it's all about networking and building relationships and that kind of stuff. So that's like what we call like a warm audience. And then we have cold audiences where, like we were mentioning earlier, they've never even heard of you. They don't know anything about you. What we need to do is move people from that cold audience into that warm audience. And we do that through just focusing on the problems. And I know I keep coming back to problems, but like in my marketing journey, that's actually been the thing that's had the biggest impact. It's never like the ads I'm running. It's never the funnel. It's never emails. It's never anything other than, am I leading with the problem of like the people I want to attract? Am I actually really, really going deep on the things that they're experiencing and then the things they're doing to try and solve that problem? And I would imagine that goes pretty deep with real estate. Like maybe they can't get funding. Maybe it's hard to find an agent. Maybe it's, you know.
I think the funding, I think there's a lot of people, because the prices increases, and then the rates, the interest rates increasing, a lot of people now can't actually afford to buy the property that they're looking at, and they're very frustrated.
Yeah, it's it's all just like I was saying, it's like instead of trying to convince somebody to come out of the river they're already flowing down and floating down, like, hey, come over here to the shore so I can talk to you, just jump in the river, float down with them so that they eventually just kind of like float off to the side. And then you can, you know, hey, I can help you find a house.
Yeah, I think that's a great concept, because what I've just outlined, one of the more successful methodologies that agents have been using to deal with that is that with new build, a lot of the major builders have been offering fantastic packages, you know, reducing initial interest by 3 points and that for free. Some of them have been offering 5 years on reduced level of interest. And a lot of agents have gone into that because it solves the problem that I've outlined, Jeff. So I think that's really insightful. You're making me think already about my own.
Awesome.
Let's move on. So what are some of the AI tools and services that come on your radar recently that you might have been tempted to use, or you think they're good concepts? You know, there seems to be a lot of AI tools, services out there. Mm-hmm. I have tried a few of them, and some of them I am using. Others haven't been that impressive. It seems a very all over the place
for sure.
A lot of these. So is there any tools or services that have come on your radar that you've been impressed with?
Yeah, so there's obviously a ton of them, and it seems like there's a new one coming out every day that does this like specific thing. I'm still just like a ChatGPT fan. I have a paid account because it gives you a little more access and stuff. But I think the thing that I like most about just AI in general is not like, hey, create all this stuff for me and like do these things for me. I like thinking of it more like a brainstorming partner. So it's like whatever tool you decide to use, you talk to it like you're brainstorming, like you and I, Jonathan, if we were brainstorming, like I would talk to it the exact same way. You don't have to act smarter than you feel or are. You can be dumb and it won't judge you.
That wouldn't be very difficult for them.
Yeah. It's just like, it's really cool because like, it like doesn't judge you. It'll like just take what you say and summarize it in ways where it's just like, oh my gosh, I never even would have thought of that. But that's so awesome that it picked that out. The thing that the caveat that I always like, I talk with like my friends about in AI is you have to give it some raw material and you still have to be the expert at like just looking at its outputs and saying, that kind of sucks, or wow, that's really good. Or maybe, hey, just this part of it is really good. Redo the first part of it. You know what I mean? Like you still have to have a discerning eye, but it always works better if you give it some really good raw materials and then add your thinking and stuff on top of that and then tell it to synthesize everything into like a new output, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I've got a quick follow up for your question, and it's also linked to some of the other things that we've discussed in this interview. I think a lot of people don't, because I understand that with a lot of copy, they say you want to reduce the reading age much lower than you think. And because I know myself on websites, I just skim read. I'm just skim reading. And then I might look at some video on the website, or if it's something I'm researching, then I will read more intently. So do you think that's a general problem that people tend to, it's a bit too wordy in general. They need to reduce the readability. What's your own thoughts about this?
Yeah, I do think that is good, but I think the reason why is because people try to be too clever and too cutesy with stuff. It's like, just keep it simple and get to the point. Like, tell me what this is, what it's going to do for me. Like, I don't want to, you know, hear your like alliterations and like your, you know, your fun, like cute little ways of saying something when it's like, just tell me what this is that I'm looking at and what the value is I'm going to get out of it. So that's why I think that's like a kind of a standard copy rule, is it helps people be like, oh, okay, yeah, I have to simplify this and be very clear. But even with that, it still feels like most people just make it too complicated and you know, just like hard to understand. And that's actually one of the things that we were talking earlier, is like also how you fix your offer, and that it affects the clarity gap. When you know the problem, but then you don't communicate it clearly and simply, it just doesn't land. And then people are like, why aren't people getting this? It's like, come on. Well, like, look at how you're communicating what you're communicating, and likely you're just making it too complicated for somebody to understand.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you there. So let's go on to the final question. if you had your own time machine, like H.G. Wells, or if you're into Doctor Who, the TARDIS, if you had your own TARDIS, and you could go back to the beginning of the career, is there one or two little things you would love to be able to tell yourself? And the one thing you can't tell yourself, Jeff, is that you shouldn't have come on this podcast. So that's excluded, Jeff. But anything else? Anything else that you would like to go back in time and tell yourself?
I would totally tell myself to get super clear on what it is that you want to do and what it is that like you do for other people. Like marry those two so you're in alignment and they're in alignment. And that's essentially a huge deal that a lot of people miss, is they're not really in alignment with their offer. They're just doing what people or what they think people want. So I would say that as like, be very clear on what you want and what you want to like do for other people that gives them value, and be very clear there, and then just simplify things.
Yeah, that's the art, isn't it? Get a message in your own personal, professional, personal life is trying to keep things simple, isn't it?
Yes. Simplify, like whenever possible.
It's been fantastic, Jeff. So what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your insights, Jeff?
Yeah, so I'm at jeffwenberg.com, JeffWenberg. And also I am Jeff Wenberg on Instagram. Those are my two best spots.
Right. And that's fantastic, Jeff. I think we're going to wrap it up. I think
that's great.
You've given some real thoughts. You made me think. I got the Mailrite business and I've got another business, and we took a hit on the amount of traffic, but we've managed to build it up, but the conversions have gone down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think I really need to think about my homepage. You know, I worked on it and worked on it and I have slimmed it down, but I think I need to think about it a bit more.
Yeah, for sure.
Based on the principles you so clearly have outlined in this interview. Huh? So you've
made me think about how it goes.
Yeah. So we're going to end it now, folks. Hopefully next week, my partner in crime, Robert, will be able to join us. We'll either have an internal discussion or we'll have another great guest like Jeff. Hopefully you got some value from this episode. I have. It's made me think a bit. Hopefully it will make you think as well. We'll be back next week, folks. Bye.
Thanks for having me.